God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us and strengthen us on our walk of life as God's children redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ is from the gospel lesson for today. Now, the gospel lesson for today, it's reminding us that not only are the disciples human, but we are like the disciples. And reading a portion of the gospel lesson from verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. I want you to place yourself in Thomas's shoes, because when we really, really think about our life, we are like Thomas. Thomas, who has been dubbed over the years Doubting Thomas. I want you to think about this. "I will believe it when I see it." Now, we might not have used those words exactly that way, but we have used the phraseology. When it comes to weather, when it comes to any kind of blessings we thought we were due, when we give a party and we've been invited people, and we're not sure if they're going to come, "I'll believe it when I see it." Ah, I want you to think about this. In 1957, a pilot was piloting his training jet, and it went down in the California mountains. And people searched for this pilot. They spent a lot of time searching for this pilot, couldn't find the pilot or the wreckage. All of a sudden, 57 days later, Lieutenant David Stairs walked out of the Sierras and into an unbelieving world. He told this unbelieving story about surviving in the mountains during the winter months. Unbelievable. People really doubted him, went away from him. He got so depressed and distressed, he was forced to resign from the Air Force and to resign his commission. But think about this, 20 years later, a Boy Scout troop that was out in the mountain region came upon Lieutenant Sears' wreckage. The story is out. People believed. Really? Really? You couldn't take him at his first word? Couldn't take him at his first word that this thing happened? But that's what happens in our life. We tend to do that. We tend to question. We question news stories. And over the last few years, the phraseology has been fake news. Fake news. We're going to doubt it. People say it, we're going to doubt it. People live it, we're going to doubt it. Now, here's Thomas, the Apostle Thomas. He listened to Jesus. He watched Jesus perform many miracles. But he wasn't there with the rest of them in the upper room with the doors locked and the windows locked for fear of the Jews. We're not told where he was. But he must have been depressed. He must have been lonesome. He must have been just down in the dumps because Jesus, the one he followed, the one who taught him, was killed.
He was put in a tomb. What are we going to do now? Who are we going to believe in? What are we going to believe in? And all of a sudden, one of his disciples comes up to him and says, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He's with us. He's alive. Put yourself in Thomas' shoes. What are you going to do? What are you going to believe? You saw Jesus die. You saw Jesus. He was put in this tomb and the rock was put away, pulled over that tomb. There's no getting around it, guys. He died. It was a limp body hanging on that cross. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where those nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Bring it into your lives. We just heard the Easter story. We went through Holy Week. Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Jesus died. He was put into a tomb. Is he really alive? Did he really rise from the dead? Those are questions. We're living in a doubting world. We're living in a world that wants to push Jesus away. He's died, he's dead, he's long gone. People say that, then they don't have to believe in him. People say that, and they know that he's not come into their life. He hasn't changed anything. I can go on living the way I want to live. I can go on sinning the way I always have sinned. I can go on living my own way, and Jesus has no impact whatsoever on me, because he's dead and gone. The resurrection story, the resurrection message of Jesus rising from the dead changes everything, because it changes our life. It changes our life from a doubting Thomas to a believing person in Jesus. The Apostle Paul went through that. Imagine the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, who was holding the coats of those Pharisees and Sadducees who put Stephen to death by stoning him. He watched it. He participated. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes into his life and changes everything. Changes his perspective on life. Changes his whole life. Ananias, who the Lord said to go into the town and pass by the street named Straight and go to that Saul and baptize him. And Ananias said, why? He's destroying the church. And Jesus says to Ananias, I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer for my sake. This is Jesus who changes lives. He changed Saul into Paul. And he used the Apostle Paul to change people's lives through the message that he told and wrote. He wrote two letters to the Corinthian church. A Corinthian church that was being split apart by everything that was going on. And when he wrote to that church, in portions there, in the first part of the second letter, the fifth chapter, he's writing about the tents and all that. And he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Jesus changes lives. Jesus changes lives. This is the message of resurrection, that we are saved by Jesus. We are given eternal life by Jesus. We are forgiven of our sins by Jesus. And Jesus changes our lives. And he writes And he speaks to the Lord about that thorn in the flesh. He entreated the Lord three times to take that thorn out of him. And the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And the Apostle Paul wrote, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Jesus changes lives. He took Thomas, who wanted to see, and he said, "Here, Thomas, reach here. Put your finger into my hand. Put your hand into my side. Stop disbelieving and believe." And Thomas's response was, "My Lord and my God." That's all he could say. Jesus changes lives. He has changed us. He has changed us from being doubting. I'm going to ask a question. Anyone here doubt Jesus? Have you ever had times of doubting? Sure you have. Because Satan wants to work on that. He wants to work on our doubts. He wants to work on our disappointments. He wants to work on our disillusionments. He wants to work on our lives and take us away from Jesus. But Jesus' resurrection has changed lives. If you want stories or messages about how Jesus changes lives, go to Mission Central, Mapleton, Iowa, Gary Teese. He will tell you stories upon stories upon stories how the darkness has been eradicated by the light of Jesus Christ in lives. There was a missionary. A missionary who brought a 16-year-old Muslim girl into the faith of Jesus Christ. Tragically, she died. Her mom came to this missionary and said, "What did you do to our daughter?" And the missionary said, "I didn't do anything." And the mother said, "My daughter died with a smile on her face. Our people don't die like that. What did you do?" Jesus changes lives. He's changed us forever through his resurrection from the dead. Thomas saw it. We see it. We see how Jesus changes lives. In Christ's holy name.